Good morning. I would like to take this moment. Let us pray. Almighty God, I'm delighted to be here, with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is through your wills that I am here today. I had never dreamed that I could have been here. But because you are the one who knows the day, the hour, and where the person will be, I'm here today to share my life and journey in life in Christ with my brothers and sisters, so that I hope that we share the same life, and my life can influence others also. I ask you to guide me, and as I share my life with my brothers and sisters. God bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I thought that it is a great opportunity for me to share with you how I become a Christian. And in the tradition, what motivated me to become a Christian since my childhood. My family, my father, my mother, and other close extended family of ours, they believe in traditional African religions in which they worshipped gods, the small gods of Africa. But I remember when I was 8 years old, my mother was talking with another lady. She's also our relatives, who is a Christian from Protestant church. And my mother was, I'm very close to them. As they were speaking, she said, I want my son to be in the church. I don't want my son to be in this belief. I was listening. And then they talked with that lady, and then she's also our relatives. And then she said, yeah, your son can go to the church and let him. Then I start going to the church. While my mother, my father, they are practicing the African traditional belief. And then that is when I get to know the church. That it was in Presbyterian church. And then as I grew up, the war broke out in 1983 in Sudan. And then we have to move on, go to Ethiopia, come back. And when we... From that time onwards, I go to church. And then... It was in 1985, I was baptized. I think I was maybe 10 years old at that time. And then I was baptized. But I'm still young, but that is how it is in the Presbyterian church. And then I keep continuing, I become a choir. I started learning Bible in Nuer, in my mother tongue. And then I participate in everything in the church. And when we become refugees, when we came to Ethiopia, I continue also doing the same. We stayed from Ethiopia from 1983, 1988, up to 91. Then when there was change in the government in Ethiopia, then all of us went back to Sudan. But I spent only 4 months, and then I came back to Ethiopia. I left my mother, my sister, and everybody there. Then I came to come to schools. And then when I came to, life was not good in the camps. So I got, my uncle was in Ethiopia, he was learning. And then he was able to send me money from Western Ethiopia so that I can go to Addis. And when he sent me money, I went to Addis. And then I went and reported myself to the UN. And I told them that since I cannot go to the refugees camp, I don't know anybody there. So... I was given asylum, the urban status, to stay in Addis, not to go to the refugees camp because I was an unaccompanied minor at that time. So then I started learning. Then I go to schools, and the UN is paying my school. And then in 1996, I go to the Presbyterian church. But in 1996, I was doing the correspondent, the World Bible School. That is done by the Church of Christ in Ethiopia. And then that is where I came to know the Church of Christ. I did the correspondence, and then some of my friends from South Sudan, we came many, who are studying that Bible schools. And the missionary who is an Ethiopian, his name is Dr. Bailu from the Church of Christ, was saying, let's meet. And then we met. And then there is one brother of ours now is in Houston, Texas. He's a Ugandan. And because we are refugees, we came to know each other. And we established the Church of Christ in the Sudanese congregations. At that time, I was not a member of the church. We were not all a member of the church, but Brother Roger Walker from Uganda and another late brothers who is called the Brother Philip, who is a South Sudanese, they were the first two who were baptized from the Sudanese congregation. And then we set up the Church of Christ in the house of Roger. Roger now who is in Houston, Texas. So we every evening we call the South Sudanese because they pray in their denominational churches, and then they come and we... And I stayed in the church for 6 months, studying the Bible, always asking questions. And then after 6 months, on the 4th of June, 1996, I was baptized with another friend of mine also, who is still a member of the church up to now. So after I was baptized, we went for a training for two weeks. There were also South Sudanese brothers who are also in California. They came there and then they sponsored that training. And then we became engaged in doing the Lord work. We established the church in Addis. And then we go to South Sudanese refugees camps in a place called Fonyodo, Dima, and in Gambela in the western Ethiopia on the border of Sudan and South Sudan. And that is how I became a Christian. After I was converted as a Christian, then I try also to mobilize other close relatives of mine to be member of the Church of Christ. And my mother was the first person, and my father, they said, yeah, now we want to be Christians. And they were baptized, and then they became part of the church. And we made the church to be a family church. Everybody bringing his family, close relatives, friends. And after I graduated in Addis, after I finished my the X-rays in Addis, then I talked with the missionary in Ethiopia that since I'm going there, I will go and establish the church in Gambela. We have some brothers who have already started the church. And then I was given letters, so I went and looked for the plot of the land. And it was not an easy one, but God's, because it is God's work. I do it together with my official jobs. So we do the Bible study, and I was able to get the land. Now we have a land of 2,000 meters squares, where the church is planted. And we have a congregation, yeah, fitted like this congregation. The building is like this one, and it was sponsored by some of the congregation here in the U.S. And that church has gone up to Sudan. We went after we settled that church in Gambela in western Ethiopia. We talk with the people in the Church of Christ in Addis to have a Bible training for the preachers. So we have preachers from Sudan, from camps. We preach them and then send them back to Sudan. And the churches were planted in Sudan after independence. So this is how I become a Christian, and it is God. God has a purpose in everyone's life. For all of us, we might have gone through many difficulties, but God has a purpose. And that purpose, if you have that God purpose in your life, even if you face the difficulties, you will be able to overcome it. And wherever I go, I ask the first thing, if I go to another country or any place, where is the Church of Christ? And that is what I did when I came here. I was able to communicate with those members of the Church of Christ in other places in the U.S. And they were able to connect me with John, with Cult, and with another Church of Christ in Mishawaka. And then after I communicate with people, then Carl and Julius, they said, okay, we will, because we are going there, we can take you regularly and come to the church there. And then I told those brothers in Mishawaka, then I will go to the church in Dowagiac. So this is how I become here. I will take us to a Bible. Let's read the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And then we start from verse 28 up to the last. And it says like this, as we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Nothing can separate us from God's love. For whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to conform to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called them. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorifies. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that has spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him so freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yeah, rather, is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who has made intercession for us? Who shall separate us from love of God, of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for the sake we are all killed and all the day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor their things, the things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So in all this, and I was really very glad to hear the songs that were selected by Brother Dean. And it really, if we count the blessings that God has given us, we have to be grateful. For me, as a person, I really appreciate God that he has done a lot on my side. During the war in Sudan, from the first civil war, from 1955 to 1972 was the first civil war. In that period, I was not there. From the second civil war, from 1983 to 2005, that is when I was very young. And that life, that war I'm part of it up to the end. And then, given the current war, from 2013 up to now, there is a way that God take you out of it. there were famines. Even most of my immediate family, after we went back to South Sudan in 1991, there was a famine. But I was not a part of that because I left and all my family were in that critical condition, in that suffering they suffered. But me, I was able to come out of that and stayed in Ethiopia. And then in 93, they have to come back because the condition is bad. And then we have to come to Ethiopia together. When I left Juba last year, it is only God that knows why I took that decision. When I got the scholarship, I have been working with the UN, earning a lot of money, good money. And I was able to support my mother, my sisters, my children when I was in South Sudan. And then when I got the scholarship that I got the offer from the University of Notre Dame, I said I will go. And then some of my colleagues were saying, why do you leave the job? You can learn here in the University of Juba while making money and you support your family. Then I said, no, there is a thing I said when I graduated, I graduated in my undergraduate degree in 2005. That is when I completed it. And I have said something that I remember that I have told God, that I want to do my graduate school somewhere out of Africa. And I know that after I got that offer, I know that God has heard what I have said. So I said I will go for it. And then I told all my colleagues and those who advised me not to go, that I will go. I will leave the job and then even the family behind, because maybe something better will come out of it. So when after I come here, after 4 months, then the war broke out in Juba. The area where I live, called Meesawa, it is the place where all people were killed. Most of those who were together with me have lost their life. When I was speaking with some of the people, when I asked this person, where is he? Oh, he has been killed. This person disappeared. So this is how God makes an escape for you. But if it is not your time, God will have. God made me to make that decision. It is not my decision. When some people were saying, oh, you took a good decision. I said, no, it is not my decision. It's God that told me to go. Because if I had been there, even if I'm not if I did not die, because if I'm alive today also, I could have lived. This is what I believed. I could not have died even if I was in South Sudan, because I'm living today. It is not a person to determine my death, it is God. Anyhow, I was able to escape that one and then come here. So after I came here, and then that thing has happened. I was really affected, especially last year, because especially with the Facebook, with all the network, you go to the website, you get your close relative, your close friends being posted that he died. It affects me in my performance, especially at last semester, last fall, the first fall. But I didn't take it because I know that God is in my life. He has a purpose to bring me here. So my message to all of you is, any suffering that you undergo, you have to take it to God in prayer. God is the one who will deal with it. So I'm glad that God took care of me and also took care of my parents. After I left last year, I went to Ethiopia, and I was able to meet all my family, including my father. I went, and that is what I remember, because in our tradition, the whole people, especially the big people, my father told me that God will be with you. Even if we don't meet, God is with you. And then I asked him, what's the problem, Father? He did not say no problem, just God bless you. Last time when you told me you want to go to U.S., I said now it is the right time for you to go. Because I could have come like my elder brother long ago. But when I want to come for resettlement, he was in the refugee camp, my father. And he told me, no, you should not go. What about us? Who will take care of us if you go? Then that is why I didn't come for the resettlement. And then I learned there after I got a job, then brought them from refugee camp to Gambela where they stay. And 2 months, 2 weeks after I arrived here in the U.S., then he passed it away. So, and then I talked with my mom. She said, no need for you to come. You have already seen your father alive. And then if he died after you go. So we will take care of everything. So don't come. So that is how it is. It was very hard for me. But I know that God, nobody is here for life. Every one of us has his own or her own time. If his time come, even if I were in Ethiopia, well, the time he died, I could not do anything the same way as I'm here in the U.S. So I just called relatives, informed them about the death, and those who were able to went and attend, and then we did his burial was done there, and then I told my family, don't be surprised, especially the children were not very happy. So, and because we are people of the church, we know that this is a part of life. It's a destiny of every human being. So I'm glad that I met people of God like you. And we continue. We became now family. And we continue to ask each other where we are. And on Saturday, my graduation will be on Saturday. And if there are people also who have, I have some tickets, if there that we will be getting on Thursday, people who would wish to go also can attend. I can give some tickets to them. Because some of my relatives will come also from Nebraska to come and attend the ceremony. So I'm glad that God bless me to be with you for all these 2 years. And God willing, I may come back or we must communicate through all the communication because I didn't know where I will be going because last time I told you that I have the resettlement case and the resettlement case has been not going well. I was informed by my pro bono lawyer saying that because your family are in Ethiopia and you are here, then the U.S. government will tell you why don't you live in Ethiopia. And then I told him, it is the country that I am that should protect me. If I'm in the U.S., so U.S. has to take care of me, not the government in Ethiopia. If I'm in Ethiopia, then the Ethiopian government will take care of me. But yeah, that one there is some misunderstanding within me and him, so I just leave it, and then I will look for other options. And God knows the best options. So that one is the issue that we have. I told them, okay, we can leave it. And then I will just focus on my temporary protected status that I have filed with the immigration. And if they give me that temporary protected status, maybe for 1 year, and also give me job authorization documents, so I can stay here and sometime go to Ethiopia and come back. If that one has not worked, God knows the ultimate time, then I can go back also to Ethiopia and stay with the family there. And if all things work well, then and I have got also the asylum, because I may also need a lawyer that I will faith to do that. And those people, they will be good at it. But I think the pre-services has been also one of the problems. So that is how I can say it. I really thank God that we are becoming a family. And I'm glad for all of you having me here and also having you here. So God bless you. Thanks.
Thank you, Godwin. If that doesn't give you pause to think about how blessed you are, then there's something wrong with your perception of life. You know, we complain when we're separated from family for a short period of time. If I'm understanding this correctly, Godric has a child that he hasn't seen, a baby that was born just a couple of weeks ago. If you recall, a year or so ago, the bandits broke into his house. Unfortunately, they took everything physical they had. But fortunately, his family got away with their lives. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to think about, will somebody come in and take everything I've saved, everything I own, everything I've worked for. You don't have to worry about having enough food. We take so much for granted. We are so blessed. We have a lot of intersections with Godwick. You may not know this, but World Bible School, which is a program that he was initially taught by, is part of the prison ministry which we support. And when we have overseas students, we refer them to World Bible School. And you see the result, which has been repeated over and over. Do you know how many times he talked about establishing a church? We planted a church in somebody's house. You know, we're small, but we have property. We're small, but we have opportunities. Our problem is how to use the resources. Their problem is having the resources. We are so blessed. So blessed. And I also want you to notice one underlying theme that Godwick kept saying. God knows what is best for us, and He has a purpose in us. Godwick's purpose is still not that clear. He's already done some great work for the Lord. What impresses me is his attitude that, yeah, we are all going to die sometime. Not going to worry about that one. Can't control that one. I'm going to do what God put me here to do, whatever it is. It's easy for me to sit back and say, well, I'm getting old. I don't have anything I can do. You can't get that old. You can't get that old. There are purposes that God has for every one of you. Purposes God has for me. And we can't escape that if we will just open ourselves to God. The passage you read in Romans 8 talks about how God can take anything that happens. All things work to the good. That doesn't mean there isn't going to be bad. Doesn't mean there isn't going to be problems, heartbreak, isolation, separation. I can't imagine the separation he's had from his family. Matter of fact, the very first day that I met Godwick, I thought about, here's a young man coming from Africa. He's put into a dormitory or an apartment in a culture he doesn't know, in a building he doesn't know, with people he doesn't know, language barriers. How's he going to manage? It's his faith in God that gave him the capacity to manage. He's been a blessing to us. And who knows where God will use him. I hope this was a different kind of experience for you this morning. I hope it gave you some opportunity to think about where you are in life. What lies ahead? I had some Mother's Day remarks to make. We'll make them later on. I think it's important to understand. I do want to mention one line. Getting pregnant is not difficult. Being a mother is. And sometimes mothering goes way beyond the baby. Maylene is in the process of wanting to become a new mother. In this case, of a veteran who's gone through a bad war experience. We pray God will bless her in that. That is a mothering experience. That's a talent. It's an ability. And I've watched many of you take on mothering roles. We don't all have kids at home. There's a few of us that do. You've got your own set of challenges. But it's so critical that we understand that Jesus looked at mothers as one of the most important tools of accomplishing His will. I was going to talk a little bit this morning about the fact that mothers can lead us either good directions or bad directions. I was an atheist because my mother was an atheist. My training from my mother was all negative. It was all survival of the fittest. It was all look after number one. Some of us have not had the best mother experience. What's interesting is that there were other women in my life who changed my understanding of what it takes to live successfully. Experience does wonders. So as I say, God has a purpose in your life. And mother, being a mother, no matter what age you are, using those skills, using those abilities, is one of those great opportunities that God places before us. And the final thing I want to say about what Godric said is, did you notice a total disregard for the problem of death? Godric says, if it's time, it's time. In our culture, that's harder. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because of our materialism. Maybe it's because of the fact that our culture has turned away from God. But if you'll turn to number 29 in your songbook, you'll notice that the song that was selected this morning is a song that talks about doing something different. All to Jesus I surrender. Putting our lives at God's feet and saying, Lord, don't know how long I have left, but whatever I have left, use it. Make my life count. If I'm 85 years old, and I've got a year left, make that year be a good year. A year in which I surrender all to Jesus. Make a difference in people I come in contact with. If I'm 16 and I'm going to live another 100 years, make that 100 years something that has value and purpose and direction. The lesson that you heard this morning is the alternative that Godric has chosen is the alternative to everything else that was offered to him. The religions of his ancestors, the fact that he lives in an area where other religions like Islam are offered, he chose Jesus. He surrendered to Jesus, and he's a tremendous example to us of what that means. If you're here this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, become a Christian. If your life has drifted into disarray and you need us to pray with you, we don't have all the answers, but we do have a God who has all the answers, and we would be honored to talk to God about that. If in any way you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come and express that. Let's all stand together and sing number 29.